Hear now the reading of God's word from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, the 10th verse, the word of God for the people of God. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. For this day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Having grown up in a retail family, I have always appreciated the power of word of mouth marketing. For those of you who may not quite understand what I am talking about, it's when you can get people talking about your product or your service, whatever it is that you're offering the general public. If you can get people to talk about that so you generate buzz and enthusiasm and some interest in procuring what you're offering, and if you can do that without any outlay whatsoever, any marketing expense, you are better for it. Word of mouth marketing, there's power in that. I think you will understand the power of word of mouth marketing from the standpoint of how you participate in that, at times, perhaps even unconsciously. Think, for example, on how many occasions you might ask someone else for a recommendation on something. "Hey, can you point me in the direction of a good Mexican restaurant?" That's a question that when I go into a new community, I'm prone to ask someone. Or can you recommend a good plumber or a good electrician or a good landscaper? You know, we're always trying to get recommendations from other people who have taking it upon themselves to find some service that works for them. If it works for them, perhaps it will meet the need that we have. It will work for us. The power, the strength of word of mouth marketing. It's also something that people practice when they're thinking about their faith. When they find themselves in a situation where their own strength and their own resources are being drained, how many times have we asked for some help in getting to a place, going to a place where someone can offer the spiritual support and encouragement that we need in that hour? So where do we go to find strength at a time like this? It's a draining time. No one knows that better than you. These last several months have exhausted us spiritually. They've drained us of our spiritual resources. And so the question that is on many hearts today is, where can I go to find the strength and the power, the encouragement and the support that I need for the living of this day? It's a question that Nehemiah addressed in the passage of Scripture that is before us this morning. Some of you, no doubt, are familiar with the story of Nehemiah. how Nehemiah was a cup bearer in the service of Artaxerxes, the king of the Persians. The Persians had displaced the Babylonians. And when they displaced the Babylonians, they allowed God's people to return from their 70 years of exile in Babylon back to Jerusalem. But the people of God, upon returning to their beloved Jerusalem, were greeted with a city in ruins. There was nothing left standing. The nation had been in lockdown, shelter in place, for 70 years. And nothing was as God's people remembered it being. So Nehemiah is back in Susa with the king of Persia. Every morning he takes the king his cup of wine. And the king notices that Nehemiah, his faithful servant, is discouraged and disconsolate. And he wants to know what the problem is. And Nehemiah explains the situation in Jerusalem. My home country is so bad. The city is in ruins. There is no protection. The king gives Nehemiah permission to leave Persia, to return to Jerusalem, so that Nehemiah transitions from becoming a cupbearer to a construction supervisor. And the responsibility that falls to him is to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem, which Nehemiah oversees at this point in his story. Not only have the walls to the city of Jerusalem been rebuilt, there's something even more important that Nehemiah has been able to accomplish. He has overseen the reconstruction of the moral and the spiritual fiber of the community. Not only have they rebuilt physical walls, but they have rebuilt relational and communal walls so that Nehemiah has enabled the people to see the importance of not just everyone looking out to his own interest, but understanding how important it is for all of us to be together and to move forward into the future that God has for us to know together, rich and poor, haves and have-nots. We're all in this thing together, and so Nehemiah wants the people to understand how critical it is that the bonds of community be established in such a way that nothing internally can tear God's people apart. So what Nehemiah has done is he's called the people together for a solemn assembly. They have gathered at a place called the Water Gate, one of the gates of the city of Jerusalem that Nehemiah has overseen its rebuilding. The gate that is just southeast of the eastern gate, which is the gate that leads up to the very Temple Mount. And there Nehemiah has constructed a huge platform. He has invited a guest preacher. His name is Ezra. There is also a book in the Old Testament that tells the story of Ezra. Ezra is a scribe. Ezra stands before the people and he begins to read to them from the law of Moses. And as he is reading, there are other servants, Levites, as they are called, and they are interspersed among the people. And and Ezra is reading, and the Levites are interpreting, and something remarkable happens. As Ezra reads the Word of God, and as God's servants interpret the reading of God's Word, so that everyone might understand, the people are so moved by what they hear that they begin to weep profusely. They understand now that all that they have gone through, all that they have had to endure, the power of word of mouth, not just human words, God's word, the power of hearing God's word spoken into their hearts convicts their spirits over how in the past they have failed God, and they begin to weep. Which is not what God wants for His people. Yes, God wants us to be convicted of our sins and our transgressions. God wants us to understand the gravity of disobedience and how we have turned from God and the implications of that disobedience. God wants us to understand that, but God does not want us to be chained by it, to be mired in past failures and past flaws and past imperfections. God instead calls us to celebrate the good news, the word of hope, the word of joy, that in spite of how we may have turned from God in the past, God does not turn from us. Instead, God accepts us. God forgives us. God restores us. God rebuilds us into the people that God needs us to be, so that we might be pointed in the direction of the good future that God has for us to know. And so as Ezra is reading and the Levites are interpreting and the people are weeping, Nehemiah goes before the people and he says to them, let's stop this. No more weeping. Do not grieve. Instead, let's celebrate choice food and sweet drink, and make sure, because the moral fiber of the community is important, make sure that you share with those who have not prepared for this day. And never forget, Nehemiah says, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word in the Hebrew for strength can also be translated protection. Protection. There's no need for you to live in fear, even though you still have memories of exile. There's no need for you to be distressed about how you have failed God in the past, and God has caused you to bear the consequences of that rebellion. God stands with you in this present moment. God has always been with you. God will always be with you to make a way where a way does not seem possible. Oh, this is not a time to grieve. This is a time that is sacred and holy to the Lord. This is a time for celebration because God is with us. And God goes before us to make possible a tomorrow that is hard for us to comprehend as we think about our present situation and how draining these past days have been. How many difficulties we have had to go through, how many challenges we've had to face. There is the tendency for us to be mired in what has been, and quite frankly, what seems to be the reality that we may have to continue to contend with for the foreseeable future. That's a draining thought. It's a prospect that if we remain fixed on it, can drag us down. But what if instead of being focused merely on the challenge that is before us, we might think about the ways in which God is at work in this very hour? Yes, there have been complications and commotions in recent days that have added on to all of the cancellations and the closures that we've experienced in days past. There are some days you just want to pull back the covers and stay in bed, but we can't do that. God doesn't want us to do it. There are opportunities that abound in every hour, and especially in this hour. If we look for ways in which we see the presence of God at work, and we make the commitment to join God in the work that God is doing in this very hour, only then will our spirits be lifted. And the joy of God's salvation, the joy of God's protection will sustain us and strengthen us as we need. This morning, in your own life, might you make that commitment? Instead of giving yourself over to moaning and groaning and complaining and weeping and the weariness that, yeah, all of us feel at a time like this, instead, if you would look for how God is at work in your life and in the lives of those who are around you, the difference that would make, and how you would discover that as you go looking for God, you will come to discover, as Nehemiah was reminding the people, that God is very present because God is also looking for you. Speaking of looking for people, many of us will remember, you talk about a word of mouth campaign. One that began some years ago, probably longer now than I can remember. A campaign that involved helping families find missing loved ones. You remember the word of mouth campaign? It started out with milk cartons. You remember this? You know, you buy a carton of milk and it's the picture of a child on there. Child is missing and there's a number. If you've seen this child, it's a powerful word of mouth campaign. Please contact this number. First time I saw that, I remember how jarring that image was of a missing child on my milk carton. And then I heard the story of a particular young child for whom that image that he saw on the carton as he went to pour milk on his morning cereal was far more jarring for him as a child than it was for me as an adult. And so later that night, as his mother was tucking him into bed, she had no idea. No idea. The little boy said to his mother, "Mommy, if I ever were to go missing, would you try to find me?" And that jarred the boy's mother. And she reached over her to her young son and she cupped his face in her hands and she said, Honey, I want you to understand that if you were ever to go missing, Mommy and Daddy would never stop until they found you." And that promise was good enough for the boy. And he went on to sleep. And he never asked that question again. Mommy and Daddy will never stop looking for you. That's the promise that Nehemiah tells us God makes to his people. God's made that promise to such an extent that it has taken God as low as a manger and as high as a cross. "I will never stop looking for you. I will always be there for you. You can always call on me." So this morning, in the face of whatever distress and dejection and difficulty you may be experiencing that's threatening to drag you down, instead, let the promise of God cause joy to well up in you so that nothing or no one will ever take it away. The joy of the Lord can be your protection. The joy of the Lord can be your strength. And when that joy is in you, as Jesus promised, then and only then will your joy be complete. Without question, finding God's joy through your faith in Jesus is the best place for you to experience God's remarkable and all-conquering strength. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for how you stand with us and stay with us in spite of the fact that we have not always shown faithfulness to you. It's because of who you are. A God faithful in your steadfast love, a God that does not give up on us, a God that gave all, including your only begotten Son, because of your love for us. In our weariness and exhaustion, Help us to experience the strength of your protection and to know that nothing will ever separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, so that our hearts may be filled with unspeakable joy. We pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen.